Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in the masjid and he was addressing the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And there were three Sahaba that were going past. So one of them, he saw a gap in the middle of the halqa. There was a gap. So he came and sat and filled the gap. The other person felt a bit shy to come closer, so he sat at the back. And the third person continued. He didn't take part in the gathering. He didn't join the gathering. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to the Sahaba that let me tell you about these three people. One of them, he put himself forward. In other words, by coming closer and filling the gap, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned His special mercies towards him. The other person felt shy and he remained at the back. So Allah treated him like that also. And the third person, فَأَعْرَضَ, he ignored the gathering and he went away. Allah also ignored him. So the adab of the majlis is we should try and sit as close as possible, inshallah, instead of being so spread out. MashaAllah, most of those that are here are those that are in i'tikaf, whether it be the sunnah i'tikaf, nafil i'tikaf. MashaAllah, there are others also. Whoever is here currently in the masjid is in i'tikaf, and you should have the intention of i'tikaf. Even if we are only here for a few moments, i'tikaf means to be in the masjid. So to remain in the masjid with the niyat of i'tikaf is a ibadah. Whether you are in the sunnah i'tikaf, whether you are in nafil i'tikaf, formal nafil i'tikaf, or you are just visiting for a few minutes or hours the masjid, you can still be in i'tikaf. I'tikaf, and especially the sunnah i'tikaf, is a great opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives selected people only. If you look, for example, how many people came for the Isha Salah and Taraweeh Salah? Hundreds, maybe close to 1,000 people. People that frequent this masjid daily, very, very close to 1,000. People who will come for Jum'ah Salah, maybe even more than that. So those are the people who frequent the masjid for the salawat. But from all of those people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected you to fulfill this duty of the sunnah i'tikaf in this masjid. So this is a selection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has selected you to be in His house. This is a great privilege. Very, very great privilege. If some rich person in the community, some affluent person, he has a da'wat and he has an invite at his house, then those that are invited feel honored. They feel privileged. They feel proud. You know, I was there and I got an invite and I'm going. Or a very, you know, affluent person's son or daughter is getting married and you are invited for the walima. You feel privileged because you were invited. Like that, we were invited and you were invited into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be resident in the house of Allah, to be in the, so to say, in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib rahimahullah, the great tabi'i, mentions al-jalisu fil masjidi innama yujalisu rabbah. That person who is sitting in the masjid, he is actually sitting in the company of his Rabb, sitting in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So being in i'tikaf, the sunnah i'tikaf, is the ideal. Or any other form of i'tikaf, like I have discussed, this is an honor and a privilege. This is by invite only. It is only if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected you to be here, then you will be here. And for those who will be in the sunnah i'tikaf, you should really consider this, especially first timers, especially those who are new to the i'tikaf, and even those who are habitually in i'tikaf, consider this an opportunity to make a lasting change in your life. Because wallahi, many people change their lives for the better when they set for one i'tikaf. Once they set for i'tikaf and they spend their time properly, and their lives have changed. Till this day and age. And I remember my beloved father, rahimahullah, he was imam in Sipingo Beach for about 42 years. So obviously, many Ramadans came and many i'tikafs happened. He would say also, and sometimes he would show me. I was very young. In the 80s, the i'tikaf environment in Sipping Obis Masjid, mashallah, was different. It was very vibrant. Haji Bhai Padia, rahimahullah, used to be there. My father, rahimahullah, Mona Gora, Salaji, rahimahullah, and others. There was a nice mahol. And people used to sit for i'tikaf. And then he would tell me in Spingo, see, this person, mashallah, his life changed. He sat for i'tikaf. That person, mashallah, he started keeping a beard, and till the end of his life, he was a doctor. He never had a beard, but he started keeping a beard in the 80s. Now, mashallah, it's easier to keep a beard. Alhamdulillah, many more people are practicing on the sunnah. But he changed his life because so many people he pointed out to me in our small community of Isipingo Beach that changed their lives. And if you inspect also in those around us, you will see that till this day and age, Allah has kept that effect in his house. That those who will spend their time properly, and they will get that hidayat from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People wait to go for Hajj, which is for most people, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. For those who get the opportunity, most of those who get the opportunity go once in a lifetime. And they try and make that worthwhile in a sense that lives must change. And mashallah, many people go for Hajj, and after their Hajj, their lives have changed, and they come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they adopt the sunnah, and they, you know, mend their ways. But Hajj, not everybody gets the chance. This Ramadan, mashallah, is here. Then the opportunity of i'tikaf presents itself every year. Alhamdulillah, we are here. There's no need for visa. There's no need for a plane ticket. There's no need to book any accommodation. Alhamdulillah, you are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It cannot match up to Hajj. But the effect Allah has kept here also, that in the spending time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly, has got that effect. That it can bring a complete change, a complete metamorphosis in your life. From east to west, the direction can change. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was one person who was captured by the name of Thumama ibn Uthal. Thumama ibn Uthal was a leader of his people from a province outside Medina. And he was an enemy of Islam, and he had harmed the Muslims also. And according to some historians, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, so to say, issued a warrant of arrest for him. That if anybody sees him, he should capture him. So the Sahaba who were out on one expedition managed to capture Thumama, and they brought him to Medina Munawwara. When they brought him, it was at night, so they tied him up to a pillar in the masjid. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah quotes this hadith in his Bukhari Sharif under the chapter Babu Rabtil Asiri fil Masjid. The chapter of tying the prisoner in the masjid. That the Sahaba had tied him, they imprisoned him in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the next morning Rasulullah sees him, then he says, oh, this is Thumama. All he does is he asks Thumama, oh Thumama, what do you have to say? Thumama said, in taqtul taqtul dha damin, wa in tun'im tun'im ala shakirin. He was a non-Muslim at that time. He said, O Nabi of Allah, if you will kill me, then you kill a person, you will kill a person who has blood on his hands, so to say. And I have also killed many others, so I deserve to be killed. But wa in tun'im, if you favor me, then you will be favoring somebody who will be grateful. Tun'im ala shakirin. There is no mention of anything else in the riwayat. The Rasulullah maybe gave him da'wat, or the Sahaba spoke to him, or their conversation. There's no mention of what else happened. This is the only thing that is mentioned. That he was there in the masjid for 3 days. And each morning Rasulullah asked him this question, and he gave the same answer. That if you kill me, then I deserve to be killed. I have blood on my hands. But if you favor me, then I will be grateful. After 3 days like this in the masjid, in the proper environment, in the environment of the masjid, seeing the a'mal taking place in the masjid, being in the company of the sahaba, etc., who were in the masjid, Rasulullah then tells the Sahaba, أَطْلِقُوا ثُمَامًا, release him. So he was released. In other words, he was released to go. And again, I'm emphasizing, there is no mention of da'wah, that he was invited actively. So Thumama leaves the masjid. Now he is free to go back to his people. He's a leader of his people. He could have went back to his tribe. But he goes to the nearest orchard where he finds water. He takes a bath, has a ghusl, comes back into the masjid, and then he recites the shahada and he accepts Islam. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka muhammadan rasulullah. I testify that is none worthy of worship but Allah, and that you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the messenger of Allah. And the books of history mention that he then tells, O Nabi of Allah, before today, the person I hated the most on earth was yourself. But now, you are the most beloved of all people to me. Before today, the place I hated the most was your city, city of Medina. Today, Medina is the most beloved of all cities to me. Before today, Deenul Islam was most despised in my eyes. Today, Islam is the most beloved of ways to me. How this complete change, a complete metamorphosis came into his life, the barakat of being in the hub of hidayat. The masjid is the hub of hidayat. So this is the opportunity Allah has given us to be here, and not only for 3 days, mashallah, for the full 10 days you will be here. So if the time is spent properly, and even like again I'm repeating, those who are in nafil i'tikaf, whatever little time you will spend, we will definitely see the results of that. We will see the effect. And those that didn't get an opportunity for sunnah i'tikaf this year, let us make an intention. Inshallah, next year or the next opportunity, I want to sit for the sunnah i'tikaf, because really, it is a very unique opportunity. One of my friends had messaged yesterday in America that he's sitting for i'tikaf and make dua. So I replied that I envy you. He's an alim. I envy you. That if only I could have sat for i'tikaf. I have to leave to go back to Istanbul before Eid. But to sit for i'tikaf is really an opportunity from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are absolutely fortunate. But it is essential that the time is spent properly. There are some general rules and basic rules of Sharia that govern our i'tikaf as well. You are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a special place. There are special rules for being in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the sunnah i'tikaf, the most fundamental thing is that we should not leave the boundary of the masjid for no valid reason. The boundary of the masjid is not the masjid building, but it's the area that is demarcated, like you know where there's a line or the barrier at the back or the red line on the carpet that shows where the masjid ends and what we call the sehen area, the courtyard area then commences. So you should not step out of the masjid into the sehen area for no valid reason. What's a valid reason? The valid reason is if a person needs to go to the toilet or he needs to go for a faraz bath, then you will leave the masjid and go out. Otherwise, you are not allowed to go out. You can't just step out of the masjid to go and have a smoke. You can't step out of the masjid just to go have a bath because you're feeling a bit sticky. In other words, even a sunnah bath on a Friday, you can't leave the masjid specifically for that. If you are going to the toilet and then you took a bath on the way back, some ulama have allowed that. But if you have to go for a faraz bath, then you are definitely allowed to leave the masjid and fulfill that need and come back into the masjid. The taps at the back, or the wuzu khana in the corner, the 5 taps that are there are also part of the masjid. So when you leave the masjid for toilet and you return, although you are allowed to make wudu outside the masjid, but it's better that you come in and make wudu in that section. When you finish meals, you need to wash your hand, then for convenience, alhamdulillah, those 5 taps were demarcated to be part of the masjid. The area, the veranda on your extreme left, that is part of the masjid. Many people sometimes sit in i'tikaf in this masjid and do not realize that that is part of the masjid. So what happens? You sit outside, you're not out of the masjid, your i'tikaf didn't break, but you forget that you are still in the masjid. So the type of chit-chat that takes place, the type of talk that we engage in there, we don't realize subconsciously, we are unaware that we are in the masjid. Sometimes people even smoke on that balcony. It is wrong. You are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are smoking. So just take note that that is still part of the masjid proper, and that the rules that apply to us in the masjid apply to us on the veranda there in the corner as well. Thereafter, being in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should ensure that we are on time for the salah. We are right here. We are right here in the house of Allah. People have to leave their homes, some of them, you know, 1/2 kilometer away, some of them 1 or 2 kilometers away. They have to leave early before the adhan, or when they hear the adhan, or immediately after adhan. Many of them, mashallah, will come and they'll occupy the first saf from being far away from the masjid. And we are right in the masjid. If there are 40, 50 of us, or 60 with the nafil i'tikaf brothers, then we should be occupying. We should be taking up the first saf because we are here before everybody else. We are already in the masjid. So make that your priority, that you want to read every salah in the first saf. The first saf is the best saf. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith, if we knew the benefit of of the first saf, then you will draw lots. You will draw lots to decide who will take turns to occupy the first saf. So much of reward. Everybody will be competing to occupy the first saf. So we have this opportunity over the next 10 days, inshallah, to read these salawat. 50 salats you can read in the first saf with takbiri ula. This is, mashallah, unique opportunity. That should be our top priority while we are in i'tikaf. Similarly, the programs that will take place, these are all here to assist us to spend our time properly, inshallah. There will be a lot of things we will learn, educational programs, informative programs regarding our deen. We should definitely ensure that we attend these programs with the correct intention, and inshallah try and implement and put into practice what we will hear. Similarly, we should avoid forming groups and spending our time in chit-chat. The house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the other days of the year, 360 or 355 other days we have, wherein we can engage in everything else. This is 10 days you have dedicated. You have left everything to come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you go to see, there are different exercises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us through. You know, you come, for example, for salat every day. You leave your home, you leave your business, you leave your family, your friends, you come. And you spend that 20 minutes, half an hour in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you leave. That's one form of exercise. That's one training that we are given. Then people go, for example, for Hajj and for Umrah. They leave even their countries and they go. And they spend a couple of weeks out away in the house in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'tikaf is also one such exercise. It's also one such program Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. But that you have left everything. You've left your family, you've left your business, you've left your friends, you've left your hobbies, all of that outside and come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a motive and a purpose. So let us leave all of that outside. Don't bring it with us into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it be in the form of chit-chat and discourses and talking with friends in the masjid, whether it be via the cell phone. The ideal would be for a person to not even have his cell phone with him, unless there is obviously a great need. Somebody's wife, for example, is heavily pregnant and she might go into labor, for example. Somebody has got some sick person in the family at home, so therefore, you know, he needs to be on standby, so to say. Or for those reasons, then it's fine if there's an emergency. Otherwise, the ideal would be not even to have your cell phone with you. And if it is with you, you rather keep it on, you know, do not disturb mode. Not only silent, but do not disturb mode. You mustn't even hear the ring. The ring must be ignored also. Because you have come, all of that you can attend to in the rest of the year. Here you have come for a maqsad and for a motive. It's going to defeat the purpose of the i'tikaf if while we are in the masjid, we are still engaged in things that are happening outside. While we are in the masjid, we are still chatting away on social media. While we are in the masjid, we are still playing games on the phone. While we are in the masjid, we are still reading the news. All of that, like I am saying, the rest of the year, we have engaged in all of that. Now is the time to dedicate ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During i'tikaf, shaitan tries a lot to waste our time, to engage us in things that are futile, to engage us in things that will rob us of maximizing the benefit and maximizing this opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We have to be careful and be aware of that. So whether it is in the form of groups or the form of our cell phones or wasting our time in other ways, we should try and avoid all of that. And if there's nothing better to do, then even if you just go and sleep, instead of gossiping, go and sleep away. Sleep in wudu and inshallah get thawab for that. Sleep in accordance with the sunnah, and that's also an ibadat for you. If you don't have the ability of spending too much of time in ibadat, too much of time in tahajjud or in salat or too much of tilawat, do how much you can and then avoid wasting time in other things and go and sleep away. Keep the dhikr counter in your hand, on your finger, the dhikr counter or your tasbih, and try and engage in that while you are waiting to sleep or while you are waiting for salah. Fill your time up with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and things that will benefit you. All of this will help in cleansing our inside. All of it will help in bringing about the change that we are looking for. Because really, respected friends and elders, I mentioned, and I will keep mentioning over the course of these days, the lesson of the earthquake. Really, the earthquake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about these kind of conditions, whether they are floods, whether they are earthquakes, whether they are famines and droughts. All of these are from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every condition is from Allah. But these major what are referred to as natural disasters, these are sent from the side of Allah as a sign. These are signs. Inna shamsa wal qamara ayatani min ayatillah. Rasulullah says the sun and moon are also signs from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When there's a solar eclipse, this is a sign from Allah. When there's a lunar eclipse, it's a sign from Allah. When there's an earthquake, that's a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sign of the power and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا Quran says, we bring about these signs and these occurrences as a warning to the people. Now imagine, such a major catastrophe has befallen among so many other catastrophes. But my life continued the same. The same wrong I did the night before the earthquake and before I got the news of the earthquake. The next night I did the same wrong. And I still watched movies and I still was on YouTube and I was still looking at haram or still talking to haram or still listening to music, still playing computer games or whatever else it may be. There was no difference in my life. That is an even bigger calamity. That is an even bigger calamity, respected friends and allies, that after such a major event, 50,000 lives were lost, wars, decades, they'll take it out. The amount of people that were affected were 13 million in Turkey. 13 million people were affected. That's the number of refugees, Syrian refugees that have left Syria over one decade of war. One decade of war affected over 10 million Syrian refugees. This is 1 minute of earthquake. Few seconds, less than a minute. Less than a minute of earthquake displaced and affected 13 million people. How many buildings? There are reports of 90,000 buildings that collapsed and over 200,000 buildings damaged. How many bombs and how many missiles would be needed? Over what period of time to bring about such damage? And at what cost per missile? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it just like that in a few seconds. So such a big event. And my life, nothing. Not one change. I never give up one wrong also. One sin, one haram. Because of that, I haven't made any change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us. This was brought about as a lesson not only for the people of Turkey, not only for the people of Syria, not only for the people of Asia. This is a lesson for the Ummah. So if Allah will ask us that I send this sign to warn you, to draw you closer to me, to take you out of your negligence, what change did you make in your life? What sin did you give up after seeing my power, my might? People are still in conspiracy theories of it may be a man-made thing. At the end of the day and beginning of the day, Allah is in control, brothers. And if really it was a man-made thing, then what's the need for such a long war, Ukraine and Russia? So long, they can just do like this and finish. Bring about such disaster that bring the enemy to their knees within a minute. Such a disaster. Not attributing it to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sign of our ghaflat. It's a sign of how hard our hearts have become. Even after seeing it, we don't want to believe. Even after seeing the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't want to take heed. So being in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spend our time properly, respected friends and allies. Make this, and we all are waiting, like I was saying, to bring about the change in our life. This is this opportunity. And really, we should count ourselves as extremely fortunate that Allah has invited us into His house to be here for this short period of time. And inshallah, the time is spent properly, we will definitely see lasting effects. You will create a ta'alluq with this masjid. After spending i'tikaf, your satis that were with you in i'tikaf will become among the closest of your friends. And this is a relationship based on deen. You didn't become friends because you went on a camping trip somewhere. Not friends because you were somewhere else in the dunya or because of business, which is perfectly permissible. But this is a friendship on the basis of deen and ibadat. This is a different friendship. This will benefit you in your dunya also and akhirat also. This masjid, when you come back after i'tikaf, when you come back to the masjid, you will feel like as if you came back home. Really. You will feel you came back to a familiar surrounding. That is when you develop that relationship with the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what every Muslim should be aspiring to achieve. To have that that relationship with the masjid. From among the seven types of people in the famous hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned seven types of people that will enjoy the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Shade of the arsh of Allah on the time of extreme heat, when people will be drowning in their sweat, in their perspiration. At that time, these will be the very privileged of the entire mankind who will be given a space under the shade and be in the cool part on the day of Qiyamah. Among them are those, is that person, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ or بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. That person whose heart is attached to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when he finished one salah, he's waiting to come back for the next one. And when he comes back, he is happy to be in the house of Allah. This you can develop. If you have not yet developed it, you can develop it during these days of i'tikaf. That you develop that love and that attachment and that feeling of being in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are here and you are making ibadat of Allah, Allah will bring that condition in your heart, inshallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of valuing this opportunity. And you know, I would like to say congratulations and mubarakbadi to you that you have taken on the time to come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's make it worthwhile. Let's make it worth. It's not easy for our families to be separated from us for 10 days. Many of us who are here, the families are not used to it. 10 days now you are not going to be in the house. You have to make arrangements for things in the house, etc. 10 days you are not going to be in your work, in your business. It's not easy for you also. So we've all made some sacrifice to be here. Let's make that worth it. And don't allow shaitan to rob us of this opportunity by getting us engaged in futile talk, futile actions and mundane things. Rather spend the time fruitfully, inshallah, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in the house of Allah. I said our priority should be our salah and our first saf, and abstinence from sin, abstinence from futility, and dedicate a lot of time in addition to all other ibadat that we can engage in. Dedicate a lot of time to dua. Dedicate a lot of time to dua because you are special. Allah has invited you into His house. Now take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now ask of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely grant. Ask generally in our du'as, we have a habit of asking Allah for our worldly needs. When we request du'as also from each other, generally, our requests are, make du'a for me, and if you explain what need, make du'a. You know, for example, somebody might say, make du'a, I want to get married. Or make du'a, I want to find a partner for my son or for my daughter. All perfectly permissible. Make dua for my business. Make dua, I'm in debt. Make dua, we mention our worldly needs, and that is perfectly permissible and good. Definitely, we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our worldly needs as well. But don't forget our dini need and our needs of the akhirah. And when we request others also, we should make that habit. There was one elderly alim, rahimahullah, very pious alim. Also an imam for over 40 years. He was close to my father, rahimahullah. Whenever he used to phone him, he would say, Mawlana, make dua, Allah forgives me. Make dua for my maghfirat. Make dua for my maghfirat. How often we hear people requesting that kind of a dua? Because maghfirat is the ultimate. We all are waiting to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever is forgiven, mashallah, then the jannat is his. If you are forgiven and cleansed of all your sins, then alhamdulillah, then it's jannat. So whoever asks someone, make dua for my maghfirat. Generally we request duas for our worldly needs, which is good enough and is fine. But we should also not forget our spiritual needs, our dini needs, and our needs of the akhirah. And now that we are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, train yourself to make lengthy dua. Make lengthy duas. Dua in itself is a ibadah. My father, rahimahullah, used to quote a lot that in Amul Hasan, rahimahullah, sometimes you should spend 4 hours in Arafat, 4 hours, 5 hours in dua. And others as well. He would mention examples of those who used to sit with him also in i'tikaf, that from Asr to Maghrib, from one salah to another salah, the entire time spent in dua. Up to an hour, 45 minutes in dua. You know, sometimes we make dua for 5 minutes and then we start feeling like, alhamdulillah, today, you know, I made a long dua. Which may be long compared to our normal 5-second dua or a 50-second dua. But train yourself to ask and ask and ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah loves it when you ask. Insan doesn't like it when we ask from Him. But Allah loves it when we ask from Him. And Allah's treasures are never ending. So while we are in the house of Allah, while we are the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, put forward your request to your host. Put forward your request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever are your needs of the dunya and our spiritual needs. We are lacking in our salat. Make dua, O Allah. Make it easy for me to read all my 5 daily salat with jamaat in the masjid. You are lacking in fasting, for example. You didn't fast this year for no valid reason. Make dua, O Allah, forgive me and save me from the sin in the future. We are lacking in terms of our zakat. Or maybe we are overindulging in certain sin. Make dua, O Allah, this is my weakness. Protect me, save me from this. Ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our spiritual needs as well. And ask for Allah for our ultimate forgiveness in the akhirat and salvation from Jahannam and entry into Jannatul Firdaus, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abada ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin miftahi khazaini rahmatik. اللهم افتح لنا بسيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أغلق علينا من خير الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم ربنا ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا. ربنا ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا. ربنا ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا اجعلنا مقيمين للصلاة ومن ذريتنا، ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم وسكنهم في الجنة. اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم وروحهم واجعل قبورهم رياضا من رياض الجنة. اللهم لا تحرمنا أجرهم ولا تفتنا بعدهم، واغفر لنا ولهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم عجل بنصرهم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أقبل بقلوبنا إلى دينك، واحفظ من وراءنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم أصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم الطف بأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير أحاط به علمك في الدنيا والآخرة، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله ونعوذ بك من كل شر أحاط به علمك في الدنيا والآخرة. يا أرحم الراحمين، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا الله forgive all our sins يا أرحم الراحمين. يا الله forgive our minor and major sins يا الله. يا الله forgive the sins we did in secret يا الله and the sins we have done in public يا أرحم الراحمين. Ya Allah, forgive our sins that we did intentionally and those that we have committed unintentionally, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, from head to toe we are filled with sin, Ya Allah. Morning and evening, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, we are sinning and disobeying you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there is no command of yours sometimes, there is hardly any command of yours that we haven't broken, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram, many, many a times the last thing at night we are doing is sin. First thing in the morning is sin, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. And then in all the time in between also when the day is filled with sin, Ya Arham, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, but you forgive us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, you love to forgive, Ya Allah. You are most forgiving and you love to forgive, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq of abstaining from sin, Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram. Ya Allah, you bless us with the ability of restraining ourselves from the temptations that we are faced with on a daily basis, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, save us from all the fitnas that are engulfing our communities, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Whether it be the fitna of riba, whether it be the fitna of zina, whether it be the fitna of gambling, the fitna of drugs, the fitna of alcohol, LGBTQ fitna, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram, all other fitnas, Ya Allah, the fitna of modernism, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, the fitna of atheism, Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram, and the fitna of the dunya, the fitna of women, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, the fitna of pornography, Ya Allah, fitna of photography, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from all the fitnas that are consuming our communities, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Save us from the sin of music, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, save us from the wrong of ghaflat and negligence, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our hearts have become hardened because of the sin that we are engaged in, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove the hardness of the heart, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove the darkness that has covered our hearts, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram, bring us back to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you have given us life to this point, Ya Allah. You have kept us alive, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq of making it worthwhile by turning to you and earning our forgiveness, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, don't destroy us because of our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram, your power and your might and your qudrat is such that you can, within a split second, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, you can destroy this entire dunya, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, it is only your fazl and your karam that you have kept us in your favors, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. We are enjoying so much of your ni'mats, Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram, so much of comforts in comparison to people throughout the globe, Ya Allah. But despite that, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, we are continuing in our ways of sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq of making the change in our life, Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram. Ya Allah, bring us closer to you, Ya Allah, closer to our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Grant us true love for you and true love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, true love for the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, grant us complete hidayat, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, grant hidayat to our wives and our children, Ya Allah, our parents and our siblings, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, our extended families and our friends, Ya Allah. Grant hidayat to our entire community, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, entire dunya, Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram. Ya Allah, keep us steadfast upon hidayat, Ya Allah. Give us mawt upon hidayat, Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram. Ya Allah, don't let us be robbed of our iman, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that is the ultimate test and ultimate fitna in the dunya, Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram. Ya Allah, so much of effort is being made by shaitan and his agents, Ya Allah, to rob one Muslim of his iman. Ya Allah, and so many are losing the iman, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. So many are giving up Deenul Islam, Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram. Ya Allah, save us and save our progenies, Ya Allah. Protect us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq of seeing the correct path and following the correct path. And keep us in your rahmat and your mercy. Keep us in the proper environments and in good company, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram, bless us with halal sustenance, Ya Allah, and halal rozi, Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram. Save us from haram, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, and the ill effects of haram and consumption of haram. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq of reading our five daily salawat with jamaat in the masjid, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, in the first saf, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq of fulfilling every other command of yours, Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram. Give us tawfiq of abstaining from every prohibition of yours, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, make our life in this dunya easy, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Grant us hayatan tayyiba in this dunya, in the qabr and akhirat, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, raise us in the day of qiyamah with your chosen slaves in the company of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, give us space under the shade of your arsh, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Favor us on that day, Ya Allah, and forgive us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Dal Jalali Wal Ikram, forgive us and give us entry into Jannah without hisab, Ya Allah. Save us from the fire of Jahannam, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, we cannot tolerate the flame of a candle. We cannot tolerate the flame of a matchstick in this dunya, Ya Allah. How we will tolerate the flames of Jahannam, which were fanned for 70,000 years, Ya Allah. It was fanned and fanned, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, and it supersedes the heat heat of the dunya 70 times, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Heat of the fire of the dunya. Ya Allah, how are we going to withstand the fire of Jahannam, Ya Arhamar Rahimin? Save us, Ya Allah. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Ya Allah, this is the ashara of al-itq minan nar, the ashara of freedom from Jahannam, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. That person is truly wretched and deprived. Ya Allah, who can't earn his forgiveness in this last ashra, Ya Allah. Who is not saved from Jahannam, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Don't make us from those unfortunate ones, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, let us wake up from this gathering, Ya Allah, in such a condition that you have made our complete maghfirat. And you have made the decision of never to take us anywhere near Jahannam, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Not to punish us any in this dunya, Ya Allah. Not to punish us in the qabr, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Give us a peaceful life in barzakh, Ya Allah. And a peaceful life in the akhirat, Ya Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. And give us tawfiq of carrying out those deeds that will bring about your rahmat and your mercy and hayatan tayyiba and peaceful life in this dunya, qabr and akhirat, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, protect Islam and the Muslims in our country and entire dunya, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove the suffering of those that are suffering, wherever they may be suffering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us and save us, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. Whoever has whatever need, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, of dunya or akhirat, dini or dunya we need, Ya Allah, ukhra we need, Ya Allah, you fulfill all our needs, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Those that are looking for spouses for themselves or for their children, Ya Allah, grant them suitable spouses. Those that want children, Ya Allah, grant them suitable children, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Those that are in debt, Ya Allah, free them of their debt, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Those that are in any other kind of difficulty and taklif, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, remove that difficulty. Those that are suffering from broken down relationships, Ya Allah, whether it be husband and wife, whether it be brother and brother, father and son, mother and daughter, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, you mend our relationships, Ya Allah, and unite our hearts, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Dhul Jalali wal Ikram, give shifa to all of those that are ill, Ya Allah, and all our near and dear ones that have left this dunya, Ya Allah, fill the qubur with nur, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Have mercy on us when we reach that stage also, Ya Allah. Let maut come to us when we have shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah na wa lips, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Let maut come to us when we are engaged in your obedience, Ya Allah, and fulfilling the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't let it come to us whilst we are engaged in laghu, in futile things, or in your disobedience, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, or in haram, Ya Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.